to you by Grow Generation. Today's episode of the Cantina is, whether on Dagobah or Tatooine you are, everything you need to grow right where you are, they have. Later in the episode, more on them you will hear.
Welcome to a galaxy far, far away. Here at the Cantina Podcast, we provide top shelf service, including rumors, leaks, news, and reviews. Come in, order a Loman Ale, and remember, no droids allowed. Thank you guys so much for joining us today on the Cantina. That's right, it's Friday, and it's time to talk about some Star Wars. I am your host, well, one of your hosts, Kyle, and joined again after taking a week off by Cam Clark. What's up, Cam?
Hey, nothing much. Yeah, disappointed I couldn't join last week. Unfortunately, I ended up double booked.
Yeah,
and was having a lot of technical issues as well. So
yeah, it's all good. For those of you that might be joining us on the first time, Cam, of course, is the other host. We co-host this show, so switch up every now and then. Something we started a long time ago, and I'm going to apologize right now. Both of my
in a galaxy far, far away as well.
Yeah, right. Both of my cats are eyeballing each other like they're going to kill each other right now. So if you hear
this, is it, we've been building this
yes
up. It's time to fight for who is the dominant cat.
Come here. But yeah, so welcome here, LRM's one and only Star Wars podcast for the moment, where we like to prove that not everyone thinks the same, and that's okay. And then we also like to make sure that our audience is well informed on the latest and greatest in Star Wars news, occasional rumors, even more occasionally or less occasionally, more rarely, leaks. But you know, those are got to be verified, and we got to feel good about it, and yada yada. But the point being is, you're not going to hear a bunch of BS here, and I kind of like that. I don't know what do you think, Cam? I've been seeing a lot of like shit storms online, and it's kind of like nice to sit here and talk about like real Star Wars news, you know?
Yeah. Of which, if we're talking real Star Wars news, there really hasn't been much, and sometimes when there really isn't much news, it drives a lot of the content creators. That's what I'm going to call these people, because, you know,
hey.
I wouldn't call us, you know, but
I know.
We have a purpose, you know, and which is ultimately LRM is whatever the news is, you know. That, but some people, their entire purpose is to make money off YouTube videos about Star Wars. So if there ain't much Star Wars news going on, just got to make it up, or you've got to kind of create a drama where there isn't one. And we've seen a little bit of that this week. There was, however, an interesting report from Variety, which I think you've seen.
Yes, that, I did. Just got done reading it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a really simple piece. It's just really talking about, you know, Disney, how everything's going on over there at the moment. And it talks about some of the rumours that Kevin Feige was going to take a bigger role in Lucasfilm. And basically just says, that's bullshit. Kevin Feige is not looking in any way to you know, get into Lucasfilm any more than the one movie he's doing. You know, there's no guarantee. They're not going to say, you know, that everything that is the way it is just now will stay the same going forward. But basically we're saying they expect Kathleen Kennedy to kind of re-up for another 2 or 3 years and her position as president, and Kevin Feige to carry on doing what he's doing in terms of president of Marvel, because it's working well. And you know, that ultimately, that's the fact. That's the facts there, and there really wasn't any difference to that. But of course, some people will have you believe that there's been some giant battle going on behind the scenes, you know, equivalent of Darth Vader versus Luke Skywalker for the soul of Star Wars. And, you know, if Kennedy is staying on, that means that the Emperor has won this round, you know, and it's just absolute garbage, you know. I'm sick of hearing it, and we, you know, we even get people, you know, that come across this stuff and they don't really understand how bullshit a lot of it is, so they believe some of it, and you know, it's nice to be able to correct those people and point them towards a bit of facts and evidence from time to time, but you know, hey. But that, yeah, that, so that this week has created, you know, a lot of people, and you watch this stuff to see what they're saying. I don't watch it, so you'll maybe be able to let me know how this has been kind of getting, what's the word I want to look for? I don't want to say reported, because that's what we would do with it. And really, it's such a nothing story, we didn't even cover it as an article, you know. What were we going to do? Headline, status quo remains. Do you know what I mean? That's because that's the news. So it's fine. It's a great piece for Variety themselves, but it's not the kind of news peeps that we want to take and say, you know, if you don't read Variety, check this out because it was really important. You know, it's because it's like a nothing, you know, story, if you like. In fact, the far more interesting was the kind of political stuff that's going on at the more high-ended Disney in terms of kind of the bobs, if you like, and you know, how that kind of, not in any bad way, but just how it's changing because there's a new guy in charge that's doing things a little bit differently, you know.
You've got the way some insiders put it, and I'm paraphrasing the Variety article now, because they spoke with a bunch of anonymous insiders, and these rank from mid-tier executives and assistants to like upper management of individual divisions and things like that. But there was this huge shift from the content creators having, there's that term, and I mean it as far as like people, like, you know, your creative teams having a lot of control at Disney, while now it's going towards distribution teams, like the revenue generators, if you will. And
but, you know, it is bizarre, because you know, that's the first thing I read, that is the distribution needs, you know, it's like saying, like, the salesman, you know, that does door-to-door as the one who makes us the money. But unless you have a product at the factory to begin with, you've nothing to sell, you know?
Right.
So,
to a point, yeah, but we got to look at the restructuring of Disney in general towards what it is that they do. And the name Disney is now all about distributing that brand and the brands underneath them, while I think especially with
Disney Plus, because it's this way to just get your brand out there
right
to the public,
and I think what they did with Marvel is, and I think they're going to be trying to look, not necessarily creatively like Feige, but the structure of Marvel for some of their other brands, which include things like Pixar and Lucasfilm.
I think there was specifically, they mentioned the example of sort of Pirates of the Caribbean. At the moment, it's not really something that's getting people excited, so they have to do something to get people excited, and of course that's where the talent comes in, you know, because what you need is someone to have a really good idea and to make a really good film, and that's what generates the interest.
So I think what you're going to see is, like you and I've kind of talked about, and look, I still think creatively we have seen compartmentalization in Disney. Now, it might just be because they're not talking about things as much in public, but compartmentalization is actually not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's an extension of something we used to call in the army of keep it at the lowest level. Like, whenever, no matter what it was, you know, if you can handle it in-house.
However, you know, I've obviously worked in a completely different industry from that. And I think the way the military runs isn't necessarily the way a good company runs, though, because it's, you know, you have to keep people happier a little bit more, you know, in the military.
I think you're mistaken what I'm getting at. The idea of keeping it at the lowest level, I'm not talking about like fights or anything like that. I'm talking about like self-sustainment. Like you try to make an individual group, whatever that group is, a squad, company, platoon, or in civilian world, you know, a local store, the regional market, or
your
national
department and a bigger organization,
exactly.
Or something like that.
Compartmentalization. Then you get things in like franchises and stuff like that. It's not a rare thing in business, is what I was trying to get at, but it is a different thing in entertainment. So I'm thinking Disney is looking at themselves saying, basically, now we are at the head, we're the national head, or we are the army, and all of our divisions are made up of Lucasfilm, which is made up of battalions of Star Wars and Indiana Jones. And
even within you've got like even within Star Wars, you know, from what I mean, we're not experts from, but what we hear from behind the scenes, you've got sort of an animation side and a live action side, and the movie side is slightly different again, you know. So yeah, there isn't all. It's not just one team doing everything. That's not
and
how it works.
Exactly. And with Star Wars, I can understand a lot of the apprehension with, you know, oh God, continuity. I hate to tell you guys this, but Disney themselves has all but quietly through continuity for their entire universe.
I mean,
they've basically
lots of things they've done recently that
it's got,
you know,
gone.
quite well. I mean, even just episode one of the Bad Batch doesn't match continuity from comics.
Yeah. Yep.
So
canon.
You know,
yep.
Now before,
or canon, or
they always
canon
used to say,
or whatever fucking
there's, well, canon is what I would say. You know, because canon eyes, you know, that's the word that comes from.
Got it.
So, but yeah, there, it used to be that they had this. Well, there's the canon, you know, that we follow. And then kind of Pablo Hidalgo, who's obviously one of the senior people within the story group, and it's that story group, their job is to keep the canon. It basically said, you know, well, canon is whatever it needs to be at that time, you know. And I think that what that comes from is, you know, because you just don't know what, you know. So like when Taika Waititi comes in and says, well, look, here's my pitch, and Disney go, this is fantastic, we want to do it. And then they go, you know, what if there's an idea in there that story group go, oh, that kind of, that you know, that would causes issues with a comic that was released 3 years ago. Disney doesn't give a fuck about that compared
not anymore.
To getting Taika Waititi to direct the Star Wars film. Now, we're not, this is just an example I'm using here, because we know nothing about Taika Waititi's film. But I think they were already doing that with the sequel trilogy. I mean, they let J.J. Abrams just do whatever he wanted, basically. I mean, they let him throw out the entirety of Lucas's outline when he came in. Because remember, up until that point, they were still trying to develop his outline as a movie. They brought him in. He was the man they wanted. And the first thing he did was throw that out and kind of started again. And when they brought him back the next time, obviously, I've read the script to Jewel of the Fates that what he did was threw that out in its entirety and started the whole scripting process again, which didn't really follow on very well from even the movie that came before it, you know. And at that point, Lucasfilm were still willing to kind of say, you're our man, you know, you made us a lot of money the first time, so let's see how you go again. And it was a fucking disaster. So, you know, it's getting that balance. There has to be a balance, you know. There has to be someone there that goes, you know, when somebody comes up with a great idea at some point in the future, you know what's going to happen. Some big director's going to walk in and go, do you know what, I never fucking really liked Star Wars anyway, but I've got a bit of clout about me now, and I'd like to do something completely different with Star Wars that, you know. And they go into it, and some Disney executive goes, oh, that's a great idea, and ruins the canon. There has to be someone that just goes, well, that ruins everything. No, we can't do that. We've been down this path before. So I think, you know, it is getting that balance right, and it's trade-offs, you know. So if what you're going to do is going to decanonize the movies, it's not going to work, because you can't do that. That's a step too far, if you like. But if it's a comic book or a novel that was canon before, you know, millions of Star Wars fans won't necessarily know what that is, and Disney will basically throw it in the blender if they need to go the way they need to go. That's just how it's going to be going forward.
That's like, it's kind of like the price we had to pay in order to get more Star Wars content on screen, almost. The idea... And I don't know, because
if we look at what we have got so far on screen, there's not a lot that really has done much, you know, outside, if I'm not talking about the movies, but just talk about what they've done Disney Plus. I mean, if we didn't have that sequel trilogy, just for example, everything that's happened in The Mandalorian so far would have completely tied in with what we had up to that point, which was the prequels, the old trilogy, Clone Wars and Rebels.
Yes, I agree. But as far as the idea that Disney had of putting as much stuff on screen as they have while continuing to write books and comics, you almost have to give up the idea that they had of, oh, we're erasing the EU and here's the new timeline, and from this point forward, everything we touch, except for kid stuff only, you know, like the, you know, baby book, the little golden books and stuff like that, that all of this is going to be canon. Lofty dreams, and it sounds good and great, and everyone looks over at Marvel and are like, well, Marvel can do it, surely Star Wars can. Well, no, not necessarily.
But Marvel never did it, because there are so... I mean, you go into the Marvel page in Disney Plus and you see tons of different canon, you know, all the old cartoons, which they rebooted a million times, you know. You've got the X-Men movies, you've got the original...
But I'm talking MCU specifically. Like, people expected that type of cohesion, not necessarily understanding the difference that Disney was looking to move forward without any, I don't want to say no source material, because everyone's going to be like, oh, what about the EU? Look, they said it. I'm the biggest EU shill there is. I love it. I love the EU. Like, I hate that it's gone. But when they said it was gone, that was it for it being legit, like, source material, like the way a Civil War comic from Mark Millar is to the MCU. And... in order to...
But even then, it's different, you know, so they don't, you know, you don't read the comic and then you watch the MCU film and go, oh, they've changed it. That's a disgrace, because we used to think this was canon.
If you're JC, do.
Most people don't. Well, because he's just got no interest in the MCU because he loves the comics and he wants that page to screen. So, you know, that's a completely different...
Yeah, it's fine for people to be that way. We like Jay. We're just messing with them.
Opinion, but, you know... I certainly enjoyed all the comic books as a kid. You know, I stopped reading them. You know, I didn't read them as an adult. But the MCU doesn't follow the comic books all the time. But sometimes we have a vague idea of the way things are going to go through the comics. You know what I mean? So there's still different universes, basically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's easy to explain that in Marvel, because you can just say multiverses and there's all these different Earths. Star Wars kind of was always one big canon. And as you say, if some writer mentioned how something works in an EU book, that was how it worked. Do you know what I mean? At that point. But... you know, in order for Disney to progress further, I think they had to, you know, their original idea was, let's just ban that and go a new way. But I think they just need to, as we've said, as we're finding is happening, just adjust the canon a little bit as they go now. But the main focus for Star Wars always has to be the visual medium.
And that's
where it
overall
came from. Marvel came from the comics. Star Wars started as a film. So, you know, that's its roots.
I agree. And like, I know that statement I just made might upset some people that the live action canon is more important than the cartoons following in. Because let's not even forget that there's certain aspects of like Clone Wars that were brought in from the EU and then later on featured in the EU again, like the father and the son and the daughter, the embodiments of the Force or whatever, and Abeloth, the mom that got corrupted or whatever, she ended up, you know, coming back in the EU in the Legacy of the Force or Fate of the Jedi, whichever was the last one before it was canceled, I believe. And
yeah, because at the time when Clone Wars began, it was before. Yeah. You know, I mean, so really, it only ended under Disney. That was it.
Yeah. So you literally do have to accept that. Disney's realized that they're lofty, kind of like when they canceled the every year Star Wars thing. You know, Bob Iger came out and he's like, "Yeah, it was my bad. I wanted to see, you know, we wanted to do this and yada yada yada." And that's when we learned that officially
they just wanted to make their money back as quickly as they could. That's all.
They thought they could. That it would marvel itself, and it didn't, and they learned a lesson, and we should take.
They didn't give themselves the time to set it up. Marvel began slowly, you know, one movie at a time. You know, let's build it up. Where do we go next? Mm-hmm. Star Wars kind of jumped in. This is a new trilogy.
Yep.
You know, before they had an idea of what that new trilogy would be, and you know, that mistake is always going to hover over Disney because, I mean. That brings us on to another point, which was, we get sent, you know, remember that thing I sent you? We get sent some statistical information about streaming. Not yes, sure how legit it is. I'm just going to kind of give a mention here of who that was. I don't know if you've got it on you. Yes, give me a second. I just want to kind of...
Yeah, I'll say this. While Cam is looking that up, why don't we go ahead and take a word from our sponsors over at Grow Generation. Take it away, ad reader.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. The Grow Generation commercial team is armed with industry-leading professional consultants. Grow Generation's team will help you fully manage any size or scale project. They offer turnkey facility designs, cultivation room design, and on-site project consultation. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
And thank you guys so much for sponsoring the show today. We appreciate it. You guys can find Grow Generation's information and link in the descriptions below. Be sure to tell them who sent you over there. So, just Watch, I believe it is.
Just Watch, yeah. We found out in the commercial break there. So, yeah, it's Just Watch. It's an international streaming guide with more than 20 million users, blah, 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 blah. So they had sent us a bit of sort of information on just how the Star Wars franchise works in terms of the streaming, who's streaming, who's watching it. You know, mostly obviously this would be Disney Plus. And what is really quite startling is how little the sequel trilogy gets. So, you know, people that stream Star Wars, guess what's the most popular thing? It's still the original trilogy. And after that, it's The Mandalorian, obviously. Well, it's The Mandalorian first, actually, and then because it's so new and so new, popular. Yeah. Then the original trilogy, and then it's basically the cartoon stuff. So,
this is the
Clone Wars, Rebels, etc.
Yeah.
Then the prequels. Then it's the sequel trilogy. You know, that's like the lowest thing. It's down there with the.
Well,
you know, non-canon stuff.
The prequels did less get streamed less than the sequel trilogy by far. The prequels are the lowest of the movies.
Then it's the sequel trilogy, and then
Other than the cartoons.
That's obviously what's shocking about that, though. That they're so new. You know, like The Rise of Skywalker is literally the most recent Star Wars film that's on there. And it do obviously gets streamed more than the other two, but you know the you. I mean, that just, I think, backs up that people just don't like that sequel trilogy, yeah, and we're stuck with it now. You know,
that's what I was going to say. And again, ladies and gentlemen, this is from a group called Just Watch, the streaming guide. It says it's based on Just Watch user title engagement in the U.S. as of May 2021. And take it for what it's worth. This is the first time we've ever been sent anything by this particular group. What I've found shocking is just how closely the sequel trilogy's streaming is. You are right, Rise does kind of eke out, and I think that's a testament to how many people said in December of 2019, I can wait. And that's what I think happened, is people waited.
I mean, even I watched it once on Disney Plus because it would have been the second time I'd only watched it once in theater, so I thought, well, I'm going to watch this one more time, you know, for posterity.
Exactly. And then you look at the what's interesting about the pre or the OT to me and how well it does, even surpassing the others, is knowing how few fans there are of the versions that are streaming. Like, people begrudgingly, for the most part, not all, but people begrudgingly watch those. I know, like, a lot of people have gotten used to it.
Used to it. I think it's probably the best.
Yeah, that's why I kind of say.
And we've talked before about how, you know, we Kyle and I do slightly differ in this, and Kyle's more of a traditionalist, like, give me the originals.
God damn right.
I think there's enough positives that I, you know, in some of the versions that I would just watch it, but there are two or three moments that just stand out to me that I just despise now, about the current versions that are on there.
Give me your God's to honest answer, because this is mine's a yes to this question. If they would release the original 97 and special edition in 4K, would that become your nothing else? It's the current Blu-ray or that 97, like in 2027, some 40th, 50th.
The only thing that would really piss me off would be the Greedo scene then.
Yes, you know, exactly.
That would be the only thing that pissed me off. And the Han and Jabba thing, they cleaned it up, made it look a little bit better going forward. So there's things I would miss about the later versions, you know what I mean, that they just cleaned up and made better. But they just kept making it worse.
Yes,
as well,
he did.
You know?
No, so, let's not say they. So, let's say he. Let's say who, Lucas, who it was.
The worst one for me now is the Vader No. What is it for you?
I don't know. It was. Look, guys, no one can take away what George Lucas created. We're all thankful for it. We're here talking because of it. We're passionate.
Yeah, but the guy lost the plot.
But the guy
a long time ago.
Look, this is one of those things you and I've talked about before. There's two times where something you create kind of gets taken out of your hands. One is if you are playing in someone else's sandbox, i.e. like a comic writer that goes and writes for Marvel or DC and plays with their characters. And the other time is when something becomes an embedded, integral part of the consciousness, the culture of a major portion of the population, like Star Wars did. And it's kind of unfortunate that it became so beloved, because it constrained the creator himself to a degree. And I say that as a person that 100% disagrees with the direction that he took, but I can understand his feelings, his frustration. I often wonder if
I think
the prequel...
he was trying to rock the boat a little bit sometimes when he did the prequels. Like he specifically, you know, he just didn't get that adults were still into these movies, and he wanted to make them more for kids. But you know
that, like, and I think maybe even a chance that he overcorrected a little bit on that with the prequel trilogy at first in episode one, really trying to look for more Return of the Jedi, less Empire, but enough Empire to get us back in theaters, but with our kids, for, you know, your age and myself, I was a teenager. Regardless, we love what he created, but he didn't necessarily do any bit better of a job with it after the OT than Disney has. But I can at least say that out of everything out there.
But the one difference is, though, that despite them being bad movies, the prequels, there's one or two like canon things that you go, you could debate them all day, this doesn't make sense, and you have to find headcanon. But because it was still him at that point, it was like when Tolkien changes something, this is a new version of what I've decided. That's the canon because that's the creator, you know, and ultimately his decision, you know, if he says yes or no to something, that was like God's decision at that point because he ran it, you know, it was his creation, he ran it, he had all the rights, you know, I mean, nobody could do anything without, you know, could make money off that brand without his say-so and approval, but it was too much for him. He didn't want it. He didn't want it. He just wanted to sit back and chill, do you know what I mean, and make the stuff he did. So, you know, when he went into the prequels, I just think it was at the wrong point in his life. You know, he took it on himself. And what he really should have done is what he tried to do with the sequel trilogy was just say, like, I'll finance it even, do you know what I mean? But I'm going to hire writers, I'm going to hire, you know, directors to bring this vision, and I'm just giving you the outline. You know, and you guys are going to go and make that. We could have got, you know, something as good as the original trilogy almost. You know, it really could have been something special. But unfortunately, it wasn't up to the task of writing.
I don't know
or
if you can
directing at I don't, that point in his career.
I don't know if you could necessarily take the more childish ideas and even with a new team, make them as appealing. And then I know what people are going to say. Look at the Mandalorian, Ahsoka, and Thrawn, and all of that. But we got to remember that the way the Mandalorian is introduced didn't have any of those characters, and they immediately set a more mature tone and reintroduce these past. Clone Wars
arguably the first season without you needing Mando was the most mature Star Wars has been almost because you know it's almost like a spaghetti western which are not for kids, you know what I mean,
which allows you to reintroduce those
but kid,
more
do you know
childish
what do you know what it shows you though, guess who What's loves that? The Mandalorian kids, they fucking love it
yes and just like we love
people
Star
just
Wars.
Went, you know, man, my son thinks the Mandalorian is absolutely amazing, do you know what I mean? You don't have
Mine
to
too.
Be You don't have to be too kiddish to bring the kids in. When I was a kid, I fell in love with Star Wars, The Last Starfighter, you know, Battlestar Galactica, the A-Team, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Ghostbusters. These weren't, you know, necessarily designed
kids movies,
for kids,
no.
were they, at all, you know? So, you know, I think the people sometimes think of kids as being these dumb little species that you need to kind of dumb everything down for, and I just don't think that's giving them the appreciation that they deserve, you know. All right, you're maybe not going to bring in 6-year olds that, you know, want to go and watch happy fun time things at the cinema and they need to go to the toilet every 2 seconds, but once you get to sort of 8 or 9 year olds, you know what I mean, I think especially, then, you know, those kids, you know, will sit and watch a movie and get engaged in it.
Lucas does all the MCU now.
Yes,
you
know what I mean?
Exactly. That's a prime example.
It's not dumbed down for kids. You know?
I actually honestly think my son is ready to, if our theater is doing Black Widow traditionally on a, you know, Thursday night release, I think Lucas is more than capable of seeing that.
What age is he?
He'll be 8 this year.
Right, so that's about what age I started taking Aaron to see the MCU films. And what I found was up until Avengers, which was 2012, right? So he was what? Yeah, no, in fact, he was even younger than that, Aaron, at the time, my son. So 2007, he was... So he was like five when Avengers came out, right? The first one I ever took him to see was Iron Man 2, and he fell asleep. You know, but he could watch them in his room when he could play mm-hmm. with his figures and all that as well, and his attention didn't have to be there. And it kind of it was like that with each MCU movie that we saw at the pictures up until, you know, and a few other ones we saw as well, you know, until he got to Avengers. And about halfway through Avengers, he was doing the old, oh, I'm starting to get a bit fed up with this, mm-hmm. can we go home? And then once everything kicks in at the end of Avengers, I saw him sit forward in his seat with his jaw open, and he just sat there staring at the screen until the credits rolled, and that was it. That was him hooked, do you know yep. what I mean? And every film after that, he could sit through them, no problem at
yeah.
all. So it's getting that experience where they fall in love with it and their attention's drawn to it, just mm-hmm. the film, and then I think they're good after that.
I don't know whether I should be Lucas has gone through that with Star Wars and Marvel, and it's been wonderful to watch. But as we're kind of wrapping up our little like freeform discussion of Star Wars, the restructuring of it, the creative side and things, I would be remiss if I wouldn't mention my current regression into adolescent Kyle mode, where I am just weaving out and all about my anime again. And my son is getting to discover a lot of really fun shows, age appropriate, of course. Shows like Cells at Work, which is just this really ridiculous, jokey shonen type show with like taking place inside the body, like imaginary, like all your cells are actual people and have jobs and stuff.
Workers, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember a cartoon strip that was in mm-hmm. one of the British sort of kiddie mags or whatever. Do you know what I mean? When I was a kid, they had a thing called the Numbskulls, and it was
yep.
basically
I remember that.
The workman inside your body. Do you remember
yes.
that? Yeah. I wasn't sure if it had made its way to the States.
I caught that.
I don't remember much about it. I just remember reading it as a kid.
There was, I used to frequent a site. I don't even know if it still exists, but I used to read comic strips, like newspaper strips, and they would occasionally have the longer form ones, the ones that got picked up and put into either like graphic novels or light novels or a longer book or like a trade or something. And I can remember Numbskulls and body stuff. It was as middle school, so like 96. 97 early years of the internet, I think, maybe. He's getting to discover cool, fun stuff and watching him really pay attention. And I think what's kind of encouraging is seeing him pay more attention to that than the game in his hand. I kind of like that a little bit more to a degree right now for him because he's been so game obsessed. So seeing him just expand his horizons a bit is a lot of fun and encouraging.
Do you know now, you know, for all the things that people say video games are bad, they've also said these days that video games actually help a lot with mental health issues. So
oh, yeah.
Kids that play video games actually tend to have less mental health issues than kids that don't play video games.
Yeah, and also it depends on like interactions online and stuff like that. Like I said, for him specifically, it's just he's been super hyper focused on one thing for about a year, and that's Portal. And all things related to Portal. And so seeing him get interested in something else is encouraging. Like I said, expanding his horizons and stuff. He still plays games.
My son used to change his mind every week. So, you know, he'd play something or he'd watch something. And then he was into that. And that was it. And he'd be talking about, you know, this is when he was a bit younger anyway. I want this for my birthday. I want that for my Christmas. And then 2 weeks later, it would change. So we had a rule. Like, see if he had his own money saved up or anything like that. And he's like, I want to buy this figure I've seen online, Dad.
Yeah.
We had a rule that he had to wait an entire week, right? 7 days. So from the date that he said he wanted it, he had to wait 7 days, and if he still wanted it 7 days later, he could buy it. Do you know how many years it took him to get something? Because he could never make up. He would always change his mind within that 7 days every time.
It's, yeah, that cool down period. It's fun stuff, yeah. I don't really know how else to end the show other than saying, guys, we love Star Wars. Tell us what you think about news. Star Wars.
Hopefully there'll be more next week.
Yeah, it is... We've been saying this, guys. We can't deny that Kennedy made money. We can't deny that there's some obvious changes in the way Lucasfilm is at least handling story priorities. LRM's not going to, and the Cantina's not going to try to project stuff. You know, when we talk about a fight or disagreements, it's like what Variety talks about in their article, which is, you know, boardroom fights and boardroom disagreements, which are all like, well, I want to do this. Well, you're not doing that, and I'm in charge, so okay, bye. You know, like, yeah, it happens, sure, yeah. but the cool thing is, guys, is that there's exciting potential in the pipe, and no matter what happens tomorrow, as long as you wake up, you've got the OT. And that'll never change. So
they can never take that away. They can
never take
Although
that away.
Although Lucas kind of tried,
but I've you know, between things like the despecialized versions and if you can get your hands on the DVDs that I got, you know, copies of those, the laser discs, yeah, you can
just turn the volume down at a certain point of Return of the Jedi, and it's not too bad.
It's not too bad. That and what's the other one that I can't stand that he did in the Blu-rays?
Which movie?
I can't remember. There's it's Empire or A New Hope.
Empire, the only big change was the Emperor stuff.
That's it. That was, yeah, clear as day now, because they used his episode 3 makeup with the fucked up rubber neck. And yeah, I hate that. Yeah. But you are
apart from the makeup
right.
Looking good, but yeah, it still looked better monkey in my face. Opinion than Emperor monkey face.
Although the lines completely just,
but the lines are better.
Pull
the
weight of that movie out. Man, anyway, yeah,
the lines were better than the original.
Yeah, so yeah, guys, anyway. Join us next week. In the meantime, make sure you guys are subscribed to our YouTube channel. It is really, really great that we've broken 4,000 viewers. So to all of you that are subscribed, thank you. If you're not, please hit that red button, subscribe, so you know when all the great content is being released, like this show, the LR Morning Show, which is going to become the daily coverage genre, as you guys see us expanding into the genreverse and all that. Be subscribed, follow us at your favorite podcast distribution app, I guess that's what it's called, Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple, those things, we're at all of them, and we're free. We're cheap, man. We're super cheap. All we cost you is a little bit of bandwidth. Yeah, I can be found at Kyle Malone on Twitter. Cam, where can you be found at?
At @LRM_Cam.
And yeah, other than that, guys, keep your eyes and ears to LRMonline.com. Follow us on Twitter like we just gave you our handles. And yeah, thank you, Grow Generation, for sponsoring us. And everyone, we'll talk to you next week. May the force be with you.